Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Dublin Story Slam podcast is part of The Warren, the home of great Irish podcasts. As is my podcast, Meet Your Maker. You'll find loads of great shows at thewarren.ie.
Episode 31, Don't Go There. Hello there and welcome to the Dublin Story Slam podcast. My name is Julian Clancy and I am absolutely thrilled to have my head stuck in a wardrobe, surrounded by blankets, and to be talking to you wherever you are in the world. It has been an incredibly long time. It's been nearly 2 years since we've done a new episode of the podcast. But today, we are bringing you three stories from our very first show in the Sugar Club in over 2 years. The theme of this podcast is Don't Go There. And it features stories from people who have sometimes been dragged places that they didn't want to go to, or maybe through complete ignorance have found themselves in way over their head. Or finally, maybe it's an inner journey, an inner place that you just didn't want to visit. That's what the three stories are going to cover. We also have exciting news about how you can get involved in the Dublin Story Slam podcast, how you can start sharing your own stories no matter where you are in the world. So that's all coming up over the next 30 odd minutes or so. This is the Dublin Story Slam podcast. We're going to start this episode with Kendall Harter. Now, Kendall was the first storyteller in our second show. The theme was originally open and closed. And it's a story about as much about friendship, I suppose, as it is about taking on more than you can chew. So this is Kendall Harter.
Well, from my name, you can probably tell I'm not Irish. I'm American. I've lived in Dublin for on and off the last 3 years. And during the pandemic, I went home. And I did what everyone does, sit on their butt for the first few months. And then me and my friend decided to go. We were both having a tough week. We decided to go to her family's campground. And she was picking me up from my place. So she texted me right before and says, bring your light hiking boots. We might go on a nice walk. So I said, okay, fine. So great. So we drive to her place. We spend the night. She wakes me up at 5 a.m. She wakes me up and says, come on, Kendall, we're going to go hiking. And I was like, okay, but we're not doing anything crazy, right? Because I haven't hiked in a while. No. So around 8 a.m. we get there. Three-hour drive. And we start hiking. And we're walking, and it's great. And about 3 hours in, it turns into full-on rock climbing. Like, fall backwards, die. And I'm like, what mountain is this? And she was like, oh, no big deal. 5,000 feet elevation, which is 1,500 meters. I was like, okay, cool. So I go, you know what? I can't keep up with you. You go to the top, I'll meet you up there. 2 hours later, I get up there. It's been 5 hours now. I sit down and she's eating. And I was like, where did you get food? She was like, oh, when we were at the gas station and you got us breakfast, I got myself lunch. And I said, well, can I have some? So she gives me like a handful of goldfish crackers. And I was like, great, thanks. So what you do when you're at the top of these mountains, you just take a picture with the sign. You made it. She's like, no, we don't have time. We're actually going to go down. Oh, I forgot to mention, at the top of this mountain, it's so high, there's actually Arctic plants up there. And I'm in spandex shorts. You know? So I was like, I don't know how I'm supposed to go back down that. I was like, how do you get down that? We just climbed up. How do you get down? She's like, don't worry. We're actually going to go down the opposite side. It's way easier, but it is longer. I said, okay, if it's easier, that's fine. So we start down, and all of a sudden, we hit the face of the mountain. And it is, I'm not kidding you, all rock. You're sliding down on your hands, butt, and feet, sliding down. And you're grabbing onto the trees around you, trying not to fall. And I'm allergic to trees, so this is great. So 3 hours later, this has to be like 3 p.m. now, 3:30, 3 p.m. We get down, and I'm trying to stand. And I stand, and my legs are shaking. And she was like, Kendall, I've been waiting you for here for like an hour. And I was like, did you just see what I did? And she was like, we have to get going. It gets dark at 6 p.m. And that's when, like, the animals come out. And I'm like, I know the animals come out. Like, I'm from here. So she gave me a really hard time. I was like, look, I've obviously hurt myself. I'm limping. I need help. We have 6 miles left to go. I don't know what that is in... Sorry. We have 6 miles left to go. And we have 3 hours before dark hits. So I was like, how? So I was like, okay, well, this is a path. It must be. No, it is hopping giant boulders. And then the ones you can't hop from, because if you fall down in the crack, like, you just, I don't know where you go. There's these man-made ladders that you have to crawl over and you know, up. And they look like they were built in the 1950s. So come 6 p.m., I don't know where she is. She's left me. I'm limping, and I have no service. No one knows where I am. My battery's about to die, but I was like, you know what? I was like, I literally sat there for a minute, and I was like, I cried, and I got up, and I was like, we're not going to leave this way. So I played Spotify on my phone because I had, like, songs saved or whatever, and to keep the animals away in case they came. I could do. Maybe they like, I don't know, Britney Spears, I don't know. But at 6 p.m. it's just dusk, and I walk into this Russian family. Now this is August 2020, pandemic. And they look at me and like, help? And I'm like, yes. So their son takes my backpack, the mom gives me water, the dad gives me a Snickers, but they got me a walking stick, and they walked back with me for the next 3.5 hours. Putting their own family at risk in the dark. They didn't speak English, I didn't speak Russian. My name's Kendall, but they kept calling me Candle. Loved it. And so we get out at 9:30 p.m. at night, and we start at 8. It's 13.5 hours later. We get out, and guess who's sitting there at the picnic table waiting for me? She, you know what she does next? Our car is about a mile down the road, a paved road, and she goes, Kendall, I'm too tired to walk to the car to get it. And I said, well, I can't walk. So I literally looked at them and like had to like do this weird communication thing where it was like, will you take us? And they were like, so they unloaded their car, took us back to their car, and a few other things happened there, but little conversation. But a week later, I had this serious pain in my hip, and I looked down one day at my toes, and they were both blue. Like, both my big toes were blue. I absolutely panicked. I called my friend. We went to urgent care. I ended up losing both of my big toenails. They grew back. Don't worry. I do have some nerve damage in one, but that was from the downhill descent. And I tore my labrum, which is the cartilage in your hip. So I had to wait 6 months because of COVID, and I had to get surgery. And actually, last week was the 1 year of surgery. And I have 2 screws, but I can start hiking now again. So, anyways, the meaning of the story is close on those toxic friendships and open a new.
That was Kendall Harter there, kickstarting off today's episode of the Dublin Story Slam podcast. So afterwards, when Kendall went to the doctor, she was actually told that she would not be able to hike again, ever. But she worked very hard on her physio. She had to get a surgery done after a year, but because of the COVID and everything like that, there was massive delays in that. So Kendall is just returning to normal. So she basically had to learn how to walk and climb again. And she is going on her first hike in a few weeks' time. So the mountains here in Ireland are a little bit less intimidating than the ones back home in the States. So I'm sure she will be absolutely fine. And we thank Kendall for sharing her story with us. Okay, on to our next big story. And when I say big, I mean big, because we've just climbed a huge, massive mountain. And now we're about to take on an entire ocean. This is a story from Tommy Brown.
I am underwater and I'm trying to breathe and I go take a big breath and I don't, because I'm underwater and loads of salt water goes down into my esophagus and I'm really panicking and then I'm just like, I'm really panicking, really scared, and eventually I get up to the surface and there's loads of noise. There's waves are everywhere and it's pissing rain and it's, the waves are huge and the wind, I can't hear myself. And to the right of me is a boat that's capsized. And I'm actually 1,200 miles off the coast of West Africa in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And just behind me is one of my best friends, Pat, and he can't swim. So I'm a little bit worried about Pat. He's an awful gobshite. Anyway, so I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to go back. And so 6 months before that, I'm actually on the number 11 bus from Terenure on into town. It's a great bus. Gets a bit congested around Harold's Cross, but lovely drivers. Yeah, very consistent. I'm always late to work. but anyway, so I'm on this bus, and I have absolutely no idea what day of the week it is. And it could be Monday, it could be Friday, it could be Wednesday, and I'm 26, and I've just don't know what day of the week it is. And I kind of have an epiphany, being like, you know, what am I doing with my life? I'm just on this kind of conveyor belt. And I'm going into this tech sales job that I'm like woefully bad at, like really, really bad. Like I think I single-handedly brought the company under, like it's really, really bad. Cannot paint a bad picture, but they have a table tennis team. Yeah, so that's important. That's, I think, why I stayed, you know, maybe 3 years too long into the company. But anyway, I just was like, right, I don't like this job and I need to change big time. I remember when I was 15, I read a book about this Irish man who tried to row across the Atlantic Ocean. And I was like, that is an unbelievable adventure and always stuck with me. And I was like, right, I want to do that. And now is the time. You know, like I've hit rock bottom in terms of the most bored I'll ever be in my life. And if this is not inspiration to do it, go do it. So I did. I rang up all my friends, asked them, does anyone want to row across the Atlantic with me? And I have really smart friends. They all said no. Yeah, and one of them was like, actually, no, I've got a friend who went to Galway and he actually once said something along the lines of that. So I was like, brilliant, put him in touch with me. So I got touched through this guy called Owen. Owen's like, come on down. And I came down and we recruited a few more lads and we got a team together. There's four of us, three lads from Cork and myself from Dublin. So it was tough. That was really tough company. But for the next 6 months, I would, on a Friday evening, I'd drive down to Cork, we'd get into this boat, and we'd go out up the River Lee, out to Roaches Point, and go out into the Atlantic, and then we'd turn around, do a U-turn, come back Monday morning around 4 o'clock in the morning, I'd get back into my car, and I'd drive up to Dublin, and I'd start my job, and we'd just practice and practice all over the place. And then eventually, we were about ready to go, and we had to gather all this equipment to do this row across the Atlantic, and it's cost a fortune, and there was loads, there's about 3,500 pieces of equipment, and we were doing it at a real shoestring budget. Wouldn't recommend it if you're doing the Atlantic row. Yeah. But I remember we were buying lots of different things, and we were budget. And I remember having this debate with Owen, and Owen was like, we're going to go shoestring budget except for the safety stuff. And I was like, no, like, we're going to shoestring budget including the safety stuff. But I lost that debate because I'm bad at debating. Anyway, we pulled the boat over to West Africa, and we were training there, and we were doing lots of training. And eventually, on the 14th of December, we're like, right, we're going to go. So we all get into the boat, we say goodbye to the land, and we start rowing, and we're rowing, and we're rowing. And it's terrifying. I was absolutely terrified. I was trembling, and it was seasickness. It was absolutely horrendous. Again, wouldn't recommend it at all. If you're bored, I'd take up tennis or something like that. One of the days we came past this oil tanker, and it's the first people we'd seen in about 2 weeks, and they came close enough that we'd get on the radio with them, and it was real crackled, and they were Portuguese oil tanker coming from Brazil, and they were like, real gargled, be like, do you want to be rescued? And we're like, no, we're rowing. And they're like, yes, exactly, do you want to be rescued? Like, no, And then they're like, something, 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 and they were actually literally going out of our reach, so we couldn't really hear them. There's something, 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 the storm, get 200 miles south to avoid the storm. And we were going like 2.5 knots an hour, which is not very fast. So we were lucky to get 15 miles south. So anyway, this storm rolls in, and it is like, it's absolutely terrifying. The waves are so big that they'd pick you up, and my ears begin to pop and come down. And yeah, and I was worried about Pat, because again, he can't swim. Because at this stage, I knew I was gonna have to swim at some stage. But anyway, rowing, but we got hit beam on. So that's the side of the boat, and we start rolling down the waves, down the wave, and we upside down, and myself and Pat were on the oars, just two of the lads in this tiny little cubby hole, and we were in the water, and that's where I was at. I was like looking down at the, I was in the water, I was trying to breathe, and I was eventually got up, I could feel the coldness, got up, got my head above the water, started looking for Pat, found Pat, and we were just holding on to the boat, and eventually the boat got righted. And just before we get into the boat, I was looking down at myself, and I couldn't see anything, but I was holding on to something, and I realized it's the only thing holding me onto the boat, otherwise I'd have been a goner. And it was the safety harness. And that's when I realized, like, thank fuck, I was bad at debating. Yeah. So we get onto the boat, and so it's around 2 o'clock in the morning, and we can't row, so we just bring the oars in, and we're holding on really, really tight. And then the sun comes up, and with the sun comes up, it just died down. And I thought I was going to be absolutely terrified carrying on this row, but we've got this lovely sense of calmness, and we've begun again. Yeah.
That was Mr. Tommy Brown, who had never been to a Dublin Story Slam before and had never told a story with us before. So we were delighted that he chose that particular night. So Tommy's epic journey lasted 5 weeks, but he and his team did land safely after 32 days, 22 hours and 4 minutes. And even Pat made it home safe and sound as well. So we know for a fact that there are a ton more stories that Tommy has, and we've asked him to come back and share them with us. And as the winner of that particular story slam, Tommy will go on to take part in our grand slam. So we will bring you updates when we have them. Now, before we go to our third story, we're going to take a little break and then we will be back. So here's our break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
And we're back. So, one of the coolest things that happened during the lockdown and COVID over the last 2 years was that during our online shows, a lot of our listeners to this podcast were able to join us live, you know, on the show. So during the show, we would invite our listeners and people who were at the show to actually share their own mini little epics. We'd ask them a question, they'd post a response, and then we'd read out a selection of these during the show. And we thought, that's an amazing way for us to kind of stay connected to our fans and listeners overseas. And we want to continue it as we go back to the live shows. So this month, we've got a show coming up on March 14th. The theme is blessings and curses. And we've got a question for you. Tell us about a time you felt blessed, cursed, or maybe a little bit of both. You can write out your answer, you know, in an email. You can write it out on a piece of paper, maybe even throw it in a little drawing or something, and email us at info@thedublinstoryslam.com. Or even better, why not send us a voice memo? So just record something on your phone. It has to be kind of short, around maybe like a minute max. So we're not looking for big stories. We're just looking for little mini epics. And we'll play a selection of these during the live show on March 14th. And that way, you know, even though you can't be with us in person, you still kind of get to be there. So if you'd like to find out more information, head over to thedublinstoryslam.com. Okay, let's get back to the stories. The theme is don't go there. And so we've had a story of a friend, you know, dragging somebody up a mountain, an amateur rower ended up in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And now we have a story from Mary Kate O'Flanagan. And this is a much more personal and intimate inner journey. Now, Mary Kate is no stranger to the Story Slam. She has told lots of wonderful stories, both at the Sugar Club and our annual Grand Slam. But this story for me is just as inspiring and touching as her previous tales, but it deals with a mental challenge that's every bit as scary as the wildest Atlantic storms. It's an inner trip that after many years, Mary Kate finally completed on stage with the Dublin Story Slam, and we were absolutely honoured that she chose us to share it with. A word of advice. This story contains references to surviving sexual abuse. If that's a trigger for you, you may want to skip this story. Okay, this is Mary Kate O'Flanagan.
So I opened my mouth and nothing came out. I felt like a character in a fairy tale who'd been cursed by a bad fairy. And I went to my doctor, who sent me to an ear, nose and throat specialist, and I whispered, I can't talk. And he was like, well, absolutely stop whispering. That's the worst thing you could do for your vocal cords. Like, everybody's supposed to know that. And he said, yeah, you have significant abrasion on your vocal cords, but the only reason for that is because you're carrying a lot of tension in your throat. I'm going to send you to a speech therapist to help you relax that. But in the meantime, you're not to speak at all. And I don't know about you, but I can't do my job if I can't talk. And I can't participate in my life really in any way at all. I found a notebook. I had to use a notebook and pen to communicate with people. I found one recently. And I always found I'd go into a shop and write, have you got such and thing? And they always wanted to take the notebook and pen from me and write the answer. And I had to have a second page that went, I can hear, I just can't speak. So I'm sitting in front of this speech therapist. This is in London, and she's Canadian. And she looked at my name, Mary-Kate O'Flanagan, and she said, "Convent girl?" And I nodded, and she went, "Yeah, I get a lot of you. The nuns really do train you to be very polite, don't they? And you don't express your anger, and that can back up on you." And then she looked at me and she said, "This is a really difficult question, but are you a survivor?" And I thought, it's not a difficult question. It's kind of an unusual question. But I'll be honest with you, as long as the conversation's about me, I'll kind of follow it wherever it's going. So I wrote, "I like to think so." And she pondered me for a minute and she said, "I don't think you understood the question. I'm asking you if you're a survivor of sexual abuse." And I felt like she had just filleted me open and put her finger on the darkest place inside me. Because she just said the thing that I so thought I could keep concealed. And I didn't have to answer. She could see it on my face. And she said, "Look, in Canada, we work in teams of three, ear, nose and throat specialists, speech therapist and psychotherapist." And she said, "I can give you exercises that will help relax the muscles in your throat and your voice will come back. But this is going to keep happening unless you go and get some therapy." So I left going, "I don't want to do therapy. I don't want this thing to define my life. But what choice do I have? I need my voice." And the other thing was, even though I was 22, I believed that because of this thing, I was unfit for love, that I was a broken person. And I was like, "I don't want to be that either, so I guess I'll sign up for therapy." So for a couple of years, every Wednesday morning, I go into work at 8 and I work through my lunch so I can leave at 3 and go to therapy. But talk therapy is really difficult and it's a slow and painful process. And especially when you can't talk, and that's the reason why you're there. And I think, I don't want to do this. I don't want to have to deal with this. It's not my fault. I shouldn't have to deal with it. I want this curse to be lifted. And I heard that he was dying. So I went to see him. And I was alone with him in this hospital room. And I could see that his flesh had kind of melted away. He'd lost a lot of weight while in his last illness. And I could see what he might have looked like when he was a young man. And I thought about what he might have looked like when he was a little boy. And I thought about what he was like when he was a baby. And I wondered who hurt him to make him do the things that he did. And I said to him, "This isn't mine, it's yours. I'm giving it to you. Take it wherever you're going. And God bless you, I guess, you know, because I'm still a good convent girl." And he passed away that night. And nothing changed. So I went back to therapy, but I found it really difficult. And I still wanted this magic carpet ride to wellness. So I discovered Reiki. And Reiki was amazing. But that led me to acupuncture. And then acupuncture led me to breath work, breathing, rebirthing therapy. One time I'm having a conversation with my sisters, and I went, "My rebirther says that..." Everything, and they were like, "Whatever about the second half of that sentence, can we discuss why you've got a rebirther, right?" But then that leads me to all sorts of wild and wonderful healing modalities. And I end up going to a yoga retreat where I discovered this book, You Can Heal Your Life. And I went, "Yes, I want to heal my life." And I do the Louise Hay You Can Heal Your Life course 3 times. And then I sign up to train to give the course. But of course, if you're going to give the course, you've got to go through your stuff again. And this is years and years later now. But at one stage during the training, I said to this woman, "I wish I could forgive him. I want to forgive him. I've wanted to forgive him for 20 years. And she said, "Why do you think you haven't?" And I said, "Because I'm still on my own. Because there's still no man. Because I still can't sustain a romantic relationship for more than a minute and a half." And she said, "Why do you think your life is not exactly as it is supposed to be?" And I thought about that. And I thought, she's right. You know what? I've driven across America to hike at dawn the vortices that are sacred to the Native Americans. And I've sat on a beach in Thailand doing yoga. And I've gone on a shamanic journey. And I've tugged the baobabs in the Okavango Delta of Botswana. What if this is my life? And it's not. If I had gotten what I wanted at 22, to meet someone and get married and live happily ever after, I never would have had this wild and wonderful journey. And maybe my life has grown around this thing like a pearl around a grain of sand, you know, exactly as it was supposed to be, not despite what happened to me, but because of it. And I thought, yes, maybe I should just forget about healing my life and instead just enjoy it. And that's exactly what I was doing when I happened to fall into a conversation with a little nun beside a luggage handler, a luggage carousel in Copenhagen one day. And I'm chatting to her and I suddenly went, hang on a minute, I've heard of you. Are you Sister Breege, the healing nun? And she said, yes, I am. So we chatted about that for a while. And then she said, it's time for me to go. But she took her hands out from under her habit and she slipped a little wooden bracelet onto my wrist. It turned out to be a little rosary beads. And she said, I'm a matchmaker too. And I said, that was a really weird thing to say. I'm a middle-aged woman and I've worn a ring on my wedding finger for years because as a woman traveling solo, it's a good trick to have. I went, why did she say that to me? But a few months later, a tall, dark, handsome man who had been in the orbit of my life for a while took my hand and took me into his arms and said, will we give it a go? And I said, I can't believe it. I've gone to shamans, I've gone to voodoo priestesses, I've gone to witch doctors, and in the end, it was a little Irish nun of the poor Clares who finally healed my life and healed my heart. And then I knew there was only one more thing I had to do to break the curse, and that was to open my mouth and come here and tell my story to you all.
Mary Kate O'Flanagan there, with a story we'd originally hoped to share as part of the first Fortnight Mental Health Arts Festival back in January. If you or anyone you know has been affected by any of the issues raised in the story, then make sure to head over to firstfortnight.ie, where they have an amazing comprehensive list of Irish-based resources that can offer you both help and advice. Okay. When I asked Mary Kate, was she ready for this story to be shared on the podcast? She replied, I'm ready for the truth to be out in the world. I think it's important that survivors can be seen as people who are happily participating in life, not just victims. And it was that bravery, I suppose, to kind of come out with that story, but also the way that Mary Kate told it that reminded me of another great line that I heard when I started hooking up with some of the international storytelling community, and it was worded beautifully. It's the importance of telling a story, but telling one from a scar and not a wound. So we hope that sharing this story has helped Mary Kate continue her own healing journey, while maybe even inspiring some of you out there to begin your own. You have been listening to the Dublin Story Slam podcast. We are back on March 14th in the Sugar Club with brand new stories. We'll be bringing you a new podcast in 2 weeks' time, because that is the great news. We are going to try and do this podcast every 2 weeks. I think it'll be a little bit more of a challenge, but you know what? I'm feeling really good and invigorated and energized. And I just think that life is so freaking short and stuff happens like instantly, that everything can change. So I just think we gotta just go for it. So we'll be sharing lots and lots of more stories. We're also going to be bringing you videos of our stories over on our YouTube channel. So head over there. You can watch back on some of the online shows. Also for pictures from our storytellers, make sure to follow us on Instagram. So @ the Dublin Story Slam. And at the Dublin Story Slam on Twitter too. Okay, so if you feel inspired after listening to this and you want to share your own little kind of story, remember we're inviting you to share little mini epics. Answer the question, tell me about a time you felt blessed, cursed, or a little bit of both. Share them with us over on our website, thedublinstoryslam.com, or just email us them, info@thedublinstoryslam.com. Voice memos, written messages, handwritten messages even, and you want to take a picture and send it to us, they are all beautiful and we will do our best to share them. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks with a brand new episode of the Dublin Story Slam podcast. Bye.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.